Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2 says this. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we are here this morning to understand what it is like to walk with you, to worship you, to surrender everything that we have to you so that this world has nothing to hold us by. And my prayer this morning, Lord, is that as you speak to those who are listening to your word this morning, that you would cause them to have to respond in obedience. I pray that your Spirit would pull upon hearts so strongly that they cannot help but do what you have asked them to do. And that we will leave here knowing that you've been honored and glorified by what has taken place here. In Jesus' name, amen. So a transition has taken place between the Old and New Testament. The Old Testament, Lord Jesus Christ has not yet come. He has not been sacrificed for us on the cross. He has not risen from the dead. And so the burdened price for the Israelite nation is a lamb of perfect, blood, no health issues, no deformities, no spots. And it was given to the children of Israel. It was given to the temple so that that lamb could be completely slaughtered and burnt up, and nobody was allowed to take part of that lamb except for the Lord himself. It was burnt up for him and create a sweet, sweet offering. We've been talking through the first 11 chapters of Romans about what the gospel has changed. And now in the next chapters, 12 through halfway through 15, we're going to talk about, because of the gospel, what needs to change in us, what the Lord has made possible now, what worship we can have now that is different than what the children of Israel had, in which they had to go to a temple. They had to sacrifice a lamb. They had to have a high priest that would take that lamb and sacrifice for them, taking the uncleanness upon himself. It's interesting as you read the Old Testament that the priest that made the sacrifice was automatically unclean and had to go and set himself apart from the nation of Israel for an entire day after he had washed because of the sacrifice that he had made for those individuals' sins in giving of the lamb. So this morning we need to look back, remember looking back at what we've been told in the book of Romans. Paul's writing a letter to the church in Rome out of love. He's shown them their need for the work of Christ Jesus on the cross, the role of the law in pointing out their sin, the outgoing of the gospel to the Gentile nations, those who did not formerly know God, which is us, those Gentile people. And the importance of the Jewish people, past, present, and future. He's reviewed all of this doctrine, all of this theology, all of this critical understanding for them so that they would come together as a unified church, both Jew and Gentile, in worship of the Lord. And now, in Romans chapter 12, he makes an appeal to them. I appeal to you, therefore. Therefore always leads us back to what came before. All of these things are written in a desire for the church in Rome and now for us to see, understand, and turn to the cross of Jesus Christ as the only means of redemption from sin, which has separated us from our Creator, the Almighty God. And now with this understanding of who God is, Romans chapter 11, verses 33 through 36, the doxology, oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and how inscrutable His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor, or who has given to Him that He might be repaid? For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen. So now with this understanding of who God is, because salvation has come to us from the Almighty God, who is greater than us, wiser than us, and beyond our comprehension. Do you understand that? That what we have been given has not been given to us by someone who is our equal, or even someone who we have the ability to understand, but has been given to us by the supreme God of all of the universe, creator of all things. And because our God is the ruler of all things and the only one deserving of glory, because nothing happens unless it happens by His power. Nothing is created, nothing is changed, no life is transformed outside of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And with an understanding then of what God has provided for us in Christ Jesus. So the Almighty God, who owes us nothing, provided for us in Christ Jesus a sacrifice for our sins. So understanding what Jesus has provided for us, what God has provided for us in Christ Jesus. Romans 8, 1 through 4 says this: there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do by sending His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. For sin, He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. This understanding of what God has provided for us in Christ Jesus, we are guaranteed a verdict of not guilty coming to us when we stand before God. That's what those who have surrendered to Christ have. I stand before God, He's going to go, nope, Jesus paid for that. Jesus paid for you. It doesn't matter what you have done in the past. Your judgment has been made complete in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are not guilty because of Him. Death because of sin is no longer a part of our future. Those who have come to Christ, we don't have to worry about death and dying and what that means for us. Death for us is a graduation into the presence of the Lord. And the law in its entirety has been completed through Christ Jesus and placed upon us. The law, it's been fulfilled in Jesus. Not only do we not have the ability to do what the law has commanded, none of us can keep the law, but we don't have to worry about it being in Christ Jesus because He's already fulfilled the law. He's already completed the task that's been given to us. So with these understandings, the understanding of who God is and what He has provided for us in Christ Jesus, we read, I appeal to you, therefore, Paul asking, please follow the instructions I'm about to give you about this life we now have as a result of the sacrifice made by Jesus Christ for our sins. This is a loving friend writing to the church in Rome and saying, please, because of what Jesus Christ sacrificed for us on the cross, listen to what I have to say. And here's his appeal. This appeal, not for everyone. This appeal not for those who have not believed on Jesus Christ for salvation, because for them it would be impossible for them to follow through with the things that he is asking. He is talking to brothers. And he says that he is making this appeal to you because you are with me in this life of Christ. So I'm saying to you this morning, if you have known Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you believe that he died on the cross for your sins, rose from the grave to give you new life, as has been demonstrated in baptism this morning. If you are Christians, if you are believers, if you are those who have been called out of darkness into this marvelous life, I appeal to you to listen to what the Apostle Paul has written for us here through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Not only does he make this appeal to brothers, but Paul does not make this appeal for us to change on our own abilities, power, or self-transformation. He doesn't say, all right, Chad, you have to change, you have to live a different life, and you have to figure out how to do it. Here's a 10-step process, and if you'll follow this thing, you'll be a better Christian. That's not what he's saying here. He's appealing to us by the mercies of God. I make this appeal to you because of the great mercy God has shown us in this salvation. Paul is saying, look what Jesus has already done. Jesus has already saved your life from sin and death. This appeal is based on what has been given to us, and that is the ability in the Holy Spirit to live the life that God has called us to live. And here's the appeal. I appeal to you to present your bodies as living sacrifice. I appeal to you as believers to be that lamb that is taken and is slaughtered and offered to God so that nobody else can have it. The blessedness of being possessed by the Lord Jesus Christ and nothing possessing you. He says, give every part of yourself to God for his purposes. When we think about our Christian walk in light of living a life that is a sacrifice to God, it changes the stakes a little bit. When we talk about living the Christian life because we love Jesus, when we talk about living the Christian life because we feel an obligation to do so, when we talk about living the Christian life because that's good religion, all of those things will cause us to fall short. All of those things will be replaced by something else. Something else can come into my life that I will love more than Jesus. I don't want that to happen, but it does. There will be other things that come into my life that will distract me away from practicing good religion. But when I say, my life I am laying down for you, Lord, as a sacrifice, I no longer belong to me, then I don't get to love something else. I don't have myself to give to anything but to Jesus. And he says, when you present your bodies as living sacrifices, giving every part of yourself to God for his purposes, do this wholly, as holy individuals. Do this living a life having essential moral qualities that set you from natural humanity. The world around us, how many of you think and agree with me that the world around us is not holy? Yeah. The world around us is living in sin. It's feasting on its own depravity. It is fulfilling the lust and desires of the flesh. I was reading Jerry Bridges just the other day as he wrote, if we're going to live holy lives, then we have to quit living like animals who pursue every natural thing that their bodies desire. He says we need to live holy. Jesus, our great example, did not just blend into the world around him. Jesus did not blend in with the religious people around him. We think, wow, I'm doing pretty good as long as I look like the other people in my church. God didn't call us to look like the other people in our church. God called us to look like Jesus. There were moral characteristics about the way Jesus lived that were identifiable to people who were with him. We want to live in such a way that just like Jesus, when people see our lives, they go, there's something about them. There's something that is different that I got to find out about. The people in the cities would flock around the Lord Jesus Christ because they wanted to find out, they wanted to hear, they wanted to get a glimpse of this man that they had heard about, this individual who's not like any other teacher they have seen. Those who hated him because they were losing their audience were watching him to try to find one thing. They just wanted to find one thing that they could use as an accusation against him. Finally, in great distress, they made something up. He says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Not just holy, but in an acceptable way to God. Hebrews 12:28 reminds us that there are things, offerings to God that can be made that are not acceptable. Acceptable to God is giving ourselves to God in a way that honors him. We don't make offerings as Jesus followers so that we will be honored. We make offerings as Jesus followers so that he will be honored. We need to understand that there are ways of worshiping God that do not honor him. Do you know that the Israelite people got in trouble with God because they began worshiping God in the same way that the nations around them were worshiping God? Including, and this is hard to take if you have a weak stomach, but even the sacrificing of their own children. Because that's what the nations around them did in worship. And they were cursed for it. So there are ways of worshiping God that do not honor his name. And it is possible to become so worldly in our worship of God that he's become unpleased with us. We as Christ followers must diligently search to understand whether or not we are worshiping God in awe and wonder, as it says in Hebrews, or in a way that magnifies our flesh over his praise. We have a problem in the church today where we are seeking our natural desires fulfilled through the work of the Church of Christ that is only there to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. This is our worship. Our worship of God is offering ourselves like the lamb that is to be slaughtered and given completely to God. We are to offer ourselves and worship to God in that way. We are worshiping God in a true and genuine way when we give ourselves to him on his terms and not on our own, to be used by him for his glory and not our own. I think that's important. I'll say it again. We are worshiping God in a true and genuine way when we give ourselves to Him on His terms and not our own, to be used by Him for His glory and not our own. Paul would tell us that any other worship is fake. Just because you come to church and you are stirred inside in your emotions, if you have not sacrificed yourself to the Lord, if you have not given yourself to the Lord completely in that worship, in your life, in your presentation to Him, then you are worshiping something that is fake, not a reality. Any other worship is not genuine. It's not real. Any other worship is not useful or helpful or glorifying to God. Verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world. The first appeal is give every part of yourself to God for His purposes. Say, I am yours, Lord. Nobody else can have me. I'm yours. And the second is, do not let the world around you determine the way you should live. Don't look at the people around us and go, okay, well, it doesn't seem like the world around us is really that bad. So we can do things the way that they do most of the time. Let the Holy Spirit, he says, but be transformed. Let the Holy Spirit who is in you make you into a new person. Be transformed. Do not be conformed to this world. Do not be shaped by the world, but be transformed by the Holy Spirit. So what we're talking about in transformation, we're not talking about a better version of who we are. Well, I'll just stop doing these things and stop doing these things and stop doing these things. I'll just stop smoking, or I'll stop drinking, or I'll stop gambling, or I'll stop treating my family badly. I'll stop doing those things, and then I will be a different person. No, you won't be a different person. You'll be the same person doing different things. We're not interested in that. God's not interested in that. God is interested in us not being the same person anymore. We are talking about becoming what God intended us to be. This is spiritual change. This is spiritual change. It's not a self-help strategy. It is God changing us, not us changing ourselves. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewal of your mind. This happens when the Word poured into our life supernaturally changes us into the image of our Savior, Jesus Christ. See, the change that takes place in you should be something that you really don't identify with. You don't recognize it happening, but the people around you, they can't help but see it. This is a change that takes place supernaturally while we're reading the Word of God. I, for a long time, thought, I study the Scriptures. I study the Scriptures. I study it hard, and I look at reading through the Bible in a year plans and things like that, and I think, no, I'm studying the Scriptures. I don't have time for that. As I grow with my walk with the Lord, I'm trying to figure out how much time can I spend just listening to the Word of God, just reading the Word of God and letting it pour over me. Read the Word of God because the Word of God is a supernatural thing that will change you. Two famous preachers, not preachers, Bible teachers, counselors, Christians, Josh McDowell and Rosaria Butterfield. both incredibly intelligent people who decided that they were going to read the Bible all the way through so that they could prove that it wasn't true. While they were reading the Bible all the way through, Rosaria Butterfield says, "My third time through, I had to tell my friend, I just give up. I'm not. It is all true. I have to surrender to Jesus." The Word of God just pouring over us. This is why we study the Word of God. We don't just read our Bibles through, but we do take time to look at it and to study it and to say, what does this mean? What did God intend when He had this thing written for us? This is why we surrender to thinking according to the Word of God, where we say, in my daily life, all right, the world around me is telling me to make my decisions this way, but the Bible is telling me to make my decisions this way, so I'm going to determine to go this way and listen to what the Word of God says. This is why we sit under the teaching of the Word of God. It is problematic when an individual says, I'm growing in my relationship with the Lord, I'm walking with the Lord, but they never sit under the teaching of the Word of God. There's something wrong there. He says we are to be transformed by the renewal of our mind, that by testing we may be able to discern. So as we're changed by the Spirit of God through the Word of God, we learn to determine what God has said about our life here in Christ. We learn to go, now I know. Now I know what Jesus expects from those individuals that He died on the cross to save. He doesn't expect us to daily earn our salvation. He doesn't expect us to pay Him back. Those two things would be completely and totally impossible. He expects us to surrender to Him, to follow Him in everything that we do. That by testing you may discern what is the will of God. The testing, we would know the way God would have us live day by day, moment by moment, because it becomes very clear to us. You know, the Bible never talks about the will of God in terms of the future. In fact, the Bible says, quit thinking about the future. Today has enough trouble. Follow God today. Trust God today. Do what God wants you to do today. It's an interesting thing. When you do the things that God wants you to do every single day, you find yourself automatically in the future doing the things that God intended for you to do. You discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So you'll know, you'll be able to discern what things we should take part in and the things we should not take part in. It becomes easily determined. I say easily determined. I don't say easily accepted. It's sometimes not very easy to accept the thing that God is telling us we need to change. I don't know about you, but I have to wrestle with it for a little while. I know that it's not easily followed through. I know that we make commitments to the Lord, we surrender things to the Lord, and then we fail and we go, oh man, I blew it. Walking in discernment is not easy. It's not easy to stay steadfast in, but it is easily understood. What God wants from us is easily understood. And those who are being transformed by the Holy Spirit will begin to see what is acceptable to God and what is not. In our church in Allegan, we had an old farmer. He's not a very well-educated individual. He was a deacon in the church. And they had him for a while. They had him leading the singing at the church. When we got there, he said to me, he said, I'm going to lead the singing. I've been doing it. And I says, well, okay, that's fine. And then after a few weeks of listening to this tone-deaf music leader, I realized that that was not his giftedness. And I began to ask him, I says, why do you lead music? You can't sing. And he says, well, they told me I needed to. I says, you don't need to be anything that God has not created you to be. This individual who did not know much, but he spent time every day in the Word of God, spent time, as some of you do every day, reading his daily bread. I'll tell you what, when he heard something or saw something that he knew was not right with the Word of God, that it was being taught wrong, he knew it. He would say to me, I don't know why that's wrong. I just know it is. It doesn't fit. Those who are being transformed by the Holy Spirit will begin to see what is acceptable to God and what is not, and eventually they will not be able to handle the filth anymore. Eventually they'll say, I just can't be where things are not right. And so now you sit there and you say, how do I respond to this? What am I going to do? Well, here are some questions for you. First, if you have believed you are a sinner in need of salvation, which was provided for you through the shed blood of Jesus on the cross, have you believed that? Have you believed that Jesus died for you when he died on that cross? If you haven't, if you have not believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, then you are helplessly unable to become what Paul is asking us to become in this passage. If you have not believed on Jesus Christ for salvation, then your efforts towards spirituality are fruitless. Because he's the beginning. He is everything. Secondly, I ask if you've given yourself to Jesus for his purposes. If you've said, I have. I've known Jesus as my Savior, and I'm surrendering myself for his purposes. Not some kind of camouflage religion, but God's designated purposes for your life, whatever they may be. I'm talking about here surrendering totally to someone else. I'm talking about putting your own flesh aside to live worship in the way that God has intended. I say, if you've known Jesus as your Savior, have you done that? Have you said, I am his. I am sacrificing myself to him. I remember the day that I realized I had to do that, and I got down in the sanctuary, North Carolina, Greensboro, North Carolina, in the pink church. I got down on my knees and I said, Lord, I need you. You have got to be everything. Some of you are holding on to this, I want to go to heaven, but you're not sacrificing yourself to him. I'm telling you, listen to Paul and do that today. Are you living a life that reflects God's holiness? Or are you a Christian by name and your life looks like the world around you? You say, yep, I'm a Christian. And I know what to say when I'm here at church. Well, boy, my life doesn't reflect Christ when I'm outside of this place. Are you growing in Christ Jesus as you are reading his word and studying his word and listening to his word be taught? Are you growing? If your answer to any of these is not a resounding yes, these things are true in my life. I am a follower of Christ, saved from my sins, given myself to Him to live the way that He is wanting me to all the time, then I call on you today. My call on you today is a turning away from the way that you've been living. I'm asking you, as we approach Romans chapter 12, to surrender yourself to living according to Jesus' way in you. So I'm going to ask you this morning, I'm asking, will you come to the altar? Will you get up from your seat because you don't know Jesus as your Savior, and you say, I need to know Jesus as my Savior. I need to know Him. I know that He died on the cross for my sins. Will you get up, just get up this morning and come to the altar and ask Jesus to be your Savior. If you've not been living for the Lord, would you come to the altar and surrender yourself to Him again? Will you say, I'm sacrificing myself today. I'm sacrificing myself to Jesus. I want to be His. Would you come forward this morning and say, yep, I'm going to do that. I'm going to come before everyone in this church and say, I need a change. I need to be renewed in my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Or maybe you need to write something on the pages in front of you and you say, the Lord is showing me this today. I need to write this down. I need to make a change. My life needs to change here. Whatever it is that the Holy Spirit is telling you to do, and if He's telling you to do something, there's no question that it's taking place in your heart and mind right now. Whatever you must do, don't leave this place this morning. If you have to stay in this seat, stay in this seat. Don't leave this place before you have obeyed what the Lord is asking you to do right now. Our singers are going to come forward. They are going to lead us in a song, Take My Life and Let It Be. And as we sing this song, I just ask you to quietly yourself deal with Christ. Whether it's coming forward, whether it's talking to a friend, whether it's sitting there and praying, respond in obedience to Christ this morning.